You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home, streaming live on our website at radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami, in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville, Biloxi. In Ohio on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur, and in Wisconsin at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to thank Radio Maria in general for this opportunity. I want to thank God above all. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. We're going to be using a supplication. We're going to be using day 31 of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, which, of course, just passed, but it never passes. And we'll begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter De Palma, and joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. In fact, let's connect right now with Mother. And this is, hello, Mother, sisters.
Hello, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, actually.
Hello.
We're so grateful to have awakened today. You know, Mother, if you think about that, we have an opportunity today to grow physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It's a roller coaster, but again, we know God is taking us to the top. But so nice to have you on. So nice to be here. Grateful.
Yeah, it's good to think positively about things, you know, and I think we can get hung up on so many negative things and worries and concerns in the world, and we bring ourselves down. But when we're grateful for being awake, waking up this morning, being able to move and do everything we do during the day, to have that ability, it's all gift of God. It's all his divine will that allows us to function. And so we have to thank him and be more grateful and look at all the positive things in our lives rather than negatives. And then we'll be happy. We'll be happy people. We can get so depressed when we down on ourselves, down on everything around us, down on other people, you know, and it's all crazy thoughts that we have that are really not true. The truth is, the reality is, God is good. God has given us everything we need. God has taken care of us. And to place ourselves in his hands, no matter what happens, he's with you always, never leaves you. And we have to just trust in him and trust that everything that he allows in our lives is for a greater good. And he'll take us home with him one day. So we have to thank him for that too. We hope to all be in heaven one day. You know, like Ralph Martin said, don't aim for purgatory. If you miss, you get hell. Aim for heaven. If you miss, you get purgatory. For heaven, because we're all headed that direction. And if you plan on going to heaven one day, that means you plan on being a saint. So, you know, we're living, St. Paul wrote to the saints because they were all planning on going to heaven. They weren't planning on going to hell. So if you're planning on going to heaven, you are a living saint. Okay. And everybody around you is one too. Okay.
Yeah. And even that mother with the gift of the divine will that God has given us, he's actually now calling us beyond sainthood. I mean, of course, right. We have to pass sainthood, right. You know, like pass go collector. We have to pass through sainthood to get to the level that God wants to bring us. So that level we really don't know about. We do know one thing for sure. His mother now is in charge of the church. We'll talk about that later. And she's going to be guiding us, especially in this upcoming Pentecost Sunday. Mother, back to you.
And I think we have to place everything on Our Lady's lap, you know, read the messages for the month of May. That's what it's all about, taking her by the hand, letting her lead us and guide us and put all of our problems, all of our wounds, all of our hurts, everything that bothers us on Our Lady's lap. She will take care of it. We have to trust her in that and then let go. I was just reading here in volume 2, 1899, June the 2nd. The greatest favor I can do for a soul, our Lord tells Louisa, is to make her know herself. The knowledge of self and the knowledge of God go together. The more you know yourself, the more you know God, and vice versa. The more we know God, the more we know ourselves. When the soul has known herself, as she sees that she can do nothing good by herself, her shadow, her being, transforms her in God. And it happens that she does all of her operations in God. It happens that the soul is in God and walks beside him without looking, without investigating, without speaking, in a word, as if she were dead. In fact, knowing the depth of her nothingness, she dares to do nothing by herself, but she blindly follows the trajectory of the operations of God. It seems to me that to a soul who knows herself, it happens as to those people who travel in a steamer. In moving from one point to another without taking a step of their own, they make long journeys, but everything by virtue of the steamer that transports them. In the same way, the soul, by placing herself in God, just like the people in a steamer, makes sublime flights on the way to perfection, knowing, however, that it is not her, but rather she does it by virtue of that blessed God who carries her within himself. While the Lord favors her, enriches her, and concedes the greatest graces, knowing that she attributes nothing to herself, but everything to him. Oh, soul, you who know yourself, how fortunate you are. So if we know ourselves, we know our nothingness. We know that we can do nothing without God. And that helps us to understand who we are. We're happy when we know who we are, but we're full of pride. You know, we think we have to do it. So we worry about things. That's our pride. If we trust in God and know that he's taking care of everything, it's out of our control. Worrying does not make the situation change. And usually what you think is going to happen is not going to happen anyway. It'll be different than what you think it's going to happen. It may be worse than what you think, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all in God's hands. But I think that, you know, we contribute too much to ourselves. We're always focused on self, and we focus on God, and he will take us. It will be so easy if we trust in him. Let him take us like this steamer, and it'll be clear sailing, you know, that he's alongside us. He's with us. He's within us. He's everywhere. He's before us, behind us. You know, that beautiful little song the Irish people say.
Oh, the St. Patrick's breastplate.
Yeah. He is everywhere. And we have to believe that and know that and remember that, especially when we're struggling. People struggle every day. And if you remember that God is before you, he's behind you, he's above you, he's around you, he's on the sides of you, he's within you, he's there with you. He knows what you're going through even better than you do. He understands everything better than we understand. So if we just trust in him and acknowledge his presence, we will be happy people, you know, and realize that he is within you, doing everything within you. To die to yourself, realize you're not doing anything, but we think we're doing things. And that's what makes us grow in our pride and not realize our nothingness. So we attribute everything to ourselves rather than God. We trust in ourselves rather than trusting in him. And that's our mistake. That's where we fall, and that's where we become unhappy. But if you trust in your Father, he'll take care of everything for you.
So true. You know, Mother, you mentioned about, you know, staying in step with our blessed Lord. And, you know, how can you stay in perfect step? Jesus explains that. He uses an analogy. He says, we're nothing but a shadow.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, the shadow follows wherever the object goes. And of course, without the object, there's no shadow. So it's a great analogy showing that we are nothing without God. And if we allow ourselves to be moved by God to become that shadow, not to become the light, because all lights go out eventually, but to be that shadow, let God be the light, we be the shadow. That way we're always in step with him, like you mentioned there. And that way we can never be in harm's way. It's the greatest source of protection that our blessed Lord can give us. But again, he gives us a choice. We can either accept to be a shadow or we can decline to be a shadow.
When we keep in step, you know, everything goes smoothly. You know, when you play in a band, I'm sure you played in a band, Peter, I did, you know, you got to keep in step. The soldiers, they march, got to keep in step. Everything is in harmony when everybody's in step. But if everybody gets out of step, you know, everything is chaos. Well, it's the same thing as what you're saying. We keep in step with God and everything is in harmony. Everything goes smoothly in our lives.
Amen.
Yeah, that was a great analogy. Yeah, hi, Peter. It was a great analogy with the shadow and the light, because it made me think like,
it's in that nothingness of the soul, the document. I think maybe on your website, it's definitely on our website, queenthedivinewill.org. And it's a just a paradox of all the compilation of all the passages where Jesus explains our nothingness, not to put us down, but to allow us to understand our weakness and our necessity for having him in our lives. But it's a great compilation.
Yeah. And I love that book. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, accepting being the shadow is living in the divine will, but it's like when we're constantly trying to be the light, that's our human will. And I wanted to read a passage from Our Lady's book. It's day 15. She talks about her life in the temple. And she talks a little bit about this hiddenness that we have to have that's really so difficult for us. And I love this passage because it's kind of a good recipe of how to do the day-to-day living for anybody, for us in the religious life, because she's talking about her life in the temple, but also for those who are in family life, even those who are living on their own. Our Lady tells us through Louisa, "Now, my child, listen to me. I enclosed myself in the temple, and the Lord wanted it so that I might extend the kingdom of the divine will in my acts, which I was to do in it, so as to let me prepare the ground with my human acts and the heaven of the divine will, which was to be formed over this ground for all souls consecrated to the Lord. I was most attentive to all the duties which were usually done in that holy place. I was peaceful with everyone, nor did I ever cause any bitterness or bother to anyone. I submitted myself to the most humble tasks. I found no difficulty in anything, either in sweeping or in doing dishes. Any sacrifice was an honor, a triumph for me. But do you want to know why? I looked at nothing. Everything was will of God for me. So the little bell that called me was the fiat. I would hear the mysterious sound of the divine will, which called me in the sound of the little bell. And my heart would rejoice and run to go wherever the fiat was calling me. My rule was the divine will, and I saw my superiors as the ones who imparted the commands of a will so holy. Therefore, for me, the little bell, the rule, the superiors, and my actions, even the most humble ones, were joys and feasts which the divine will prepared for me. And extending itself outside of me, it called me to extend its will in order to form its kingdom in the smallest of my acts. And I acted like the sea, which hides everything it possesses and lets nothing but water be seen. So I did. I hid everything in the immense sea of the divine fiat. I saw nothing but seas of divine will, and therefore all things brought me joys and feasts. This is the secret to perpetual peace. This is the secret to freedom. And we all have that little land, like Our Lady talks about, that where the divine will can plant his seeds in our daily lives. What's the divine will for us? All we have to do is ask ourselves, what are the duties we have in our state and life? What are my duties as a religious sister? What are my specific duties in the community? What are the duties of a mom or a dad or of children who live with their parents, of brothers and sisters, of even those who live alone? You know, we all have duties that we're supposed to do. And we need to invite the divine will to do those duties in us. And we need to do it the way Jesus would have done it, with peace, with love, and also being willing to have you know, monkey wrench is thrown in our plan. I think that's the most difficult thing when we have a certain idea of how things should go, and maybe it's a good idea, and maybe it's even to glorify God. And then the Lord throws something in the mix that just we don't like, and we get all upset. And I think part of us gets upset because we think, well, no, this is not what God wants. But we have to remember, sometimes that's our human will acting, and God maybe wants that very obstacle that he's put in front of us to put us to the test, or to see our abandonment in his will. I was reading a while back, a book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, The Practice of the Love of Jesus Christ. And one of the things he says, he goes, a sure sign to know whether you're doing something, taking on a task for the love of God or love of yourself, is when you get all upset in the face of obstacles. And I think Our Lady teaches us here that if we just, you know, throw everything into the divine will, we have that freedom to be able to accept when things go smoothly and accept when things don't go smoothly. And things in the temple, I was listening to an audio book of Mary of Agreda, and things in the temple weren't that easy for Our Lady. You know, some of the other girls, the other virgins in the temple were jealous of her. They would complain about her. They went to the superiors against her, and Mary was immaculately conceived. She did nothing wrong. And she would humbly apologize to these girls when the superiors would confront her about it. And she said, I'm so sorry if I ever upset anyone. So it wasn't easy for Our Lady either. You know, it wasn't like she was constantly walking around in a bed of roses. You know, she had her obstacles, but they didn't disturb her peace. They didn't disturb her flight in the divine will, because she even saw that as God's hand in her life for whatever reason. And then just the last thing I want to touch upon was that she hid everything. She let nothing show outside of the seas of the divine will that was going on in her. And it was just kind of going back to what you were saying before, Peter, we have to not want to be the light, you know, because of original sin. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, but without God, we all have that vanity in us. We all have that pride in us. And it's a grace when God shows it to us. We just have to be ready to admit it, but we have to be happy being the shadow, being hidden, because that's really the only way that we're going to be able to arrive at doing everything for pure love of God and not for ourselves.
Right. And you know, really what you just mentioned, sister, what you just read, explains this second Pentecost that God promised us. It's not for only the senses like the first Pentecost, but this is an interior which nobody can take away. It's up to us to either reject it or accept it. But now it's in every one of our acts, even those menial acts, those menial activities. There's no such thing as a menial act if we're doing it for our Lord in the divine will. It's a glorious act. So again, the paradigm has shifted beyond the pale. The difference is so drastic that I think we can't even comprehend it, but we have to trust God, you know, Mother?
Yeah, the light, you know, not wanting to be in the light helps you in more than one way. It helps you spiritually to help and grow in humility, but also physically, that you have less responsibilities. You're not as culpable before God if you're not in the light and have all these responsibilities and things you have to do, you know. So to be in the background is the safest and the most relaxed place to be. So anybody wants to be in the front, you're going to have some problems. You know, you see even the movie stars, they start off small and okay, and then things get big for them and they get all these different jobs that really brings them down sometimes, you know, and they've gotten in the light, but they're no longer happy. You know, the light doesn't necessarily make you happy. The light in the way the world looks at it, you know. So yeah, that's true. Just remain in the shadow is the place where you want to be more relaxed, to be happier, to be content, and to not have to put yourself forward so much. You know?
Just say a quick quote that I read from St. Therese, which I love, the little flower. She says, the last place is the least desirable for anyone to be, but it's the place where you're sure to find God. I love that quote.
Yeah, we say here, never outpace grace. So always be content with wherever God wants us to be. Hello, sister. Yeah.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I was just thinking about that too. If you really look at the canons of saints, most of the saints that are canonized are the ones that have low positions. Very few compared to the majority are the ones who held high offices or higher places. So I was just meditating this month. The month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so I've been meditating about that. And I happened to read this passage on volume 35, January 10, 1937. and Jesus telling Louisa, "And would you like to know what my sermon was about?" I said to them, "My children, listen to me. I love you very much, and I want to make you know about your origin. Look up at heaven. Up there, you have a celestial father who loves you very much, and who was not satisfied by your father only from heaven to guide you, to create for you a sun, a sea, a flowery earth to make you happy, but loving you with exuberant love. He wanted to descend inside your hearts to form his royal residence in the depths of your soul, of your souls, making himself sweet prisoner of each one of you. But to do what? To give life to your heartbeat, breath, and motion. So as you walk, he walks in your steps. He moves in your little hands. He speaks in your voice. And because he loves you very much, as you walk or move, how now he kisses you, now he squeezes you, now he hugs you and carries you triumphantly as his own dear children. How many hidden kisses and hugs our celestial father does not give you? But since being inattentive, you didn't let your kiss meet his kiss and your hugs meet his paternal embrace. He remained with the pain that his children neither hugged him or kissed him." So this is just, I've meditated on this, and this just tells us, you know, Mother mentioned earlier about being on the positive side. And it's true, because every soul is the residence of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, speaking of shadow, yeah, we are not the light. But if we allow the divine will to live in us, it's called the indwelling. The Holy Spirit is in us, not outside of us. So in a way, only in the divine will that we cannot, you mentioned earlier, Peter, that not only saints, God is calling us to be even beyond that, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. That's what Blessed Mother, that's how she became the Immaculate Conception. That's how she becomes the fulfillment of the Immaculate Conception, is the living in the divine will. That's how it's fulfilled. And the Pentecost also, the coming Pentecost, is that's how Pentecost comes. And I continue on reading here. "My dear children, do you know what the Celestial Father wants from you? He wants to be recognized within you as having his own place in the center of your souls. And since he gives you everything, there is nothing he does not give to you. He wants your love in everything you do. Love him. Let love be always in your little hearts, your lips, your works, in everything. And this will be the delicious food that you will give to his paternity." So this is basically an exchange of life. You know, to live in the divine will is not just doing the divine will, but an exchange of life. Jesus, I want your life and I give you my life. I want your love and I give you my love. My love is nothing compared to your love. It's very little. My life is very little compared to yours. But Jesus promised us that if you live in the divine will, you inherit everything that I possess. You inherit everything that I have. So there is no fear. Mother said earlier, there should be nothing to worry about, no fear, because if you really believe in that, that will happen. You know, it begins with desire, and then we study it. Because Jesus says, God says here, his pain is from not knowing it. So we can look at those people who do not know the divine will. We cannot even condemn them. Jesus, what did he say on the first word when he hung on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Do you think these scholars, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, yes, they know, they studied the law, they know it, but they are weak. They are so proud, they cannot accept the fact that somebody is going to be above them, because they got so drunk, with the pride. So they cannot let go. They know, but Jesus made excuses for them. So forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They do not know the fullness. They do not know the divine will. So that's going to be happen to us too. We like to excuse others. If people don't do well with us, we probably the best thing to do is to make excuses, to excuse them, just like Jesus did. Put yourself in the last line, you know, the last spot. Like Saint Teresa, Sister Francesca mentioned earlier, put yourself to the last, not to put yourself down. You know your value. But don't presume, you know, it's better to just be humble, be little, and then God fills you up. What did Jesus, Mother Mama Mary said? Blessed are those, he raised up the lowly and he bring down the proud. So anyway.
But again, going back to that, it's safer to be the shadow. Let the object direct where we go and where we don't go. You know, Mother, it actually, if we think about this divine will, really, you know, without, take all the nervousness away and all the anxiety. It's really very fun. It really is very kindergartenish. You know, we learned all the important things in kindergarten. We learned that there's superiors besides our own mother and father in the home. There are children that look like us, and there are actually children that don't look like us. We learned how to put things away and how to share all the important things that, in life that we actually, many of us forget at times. So the kindergarten is so vitally important. We got about a minute before break, Mother. Did you want to comment on something that the sister said?
Yeah, I think, you know, with all both sisters have said, you know, and what you have said, Peter, that we just have to realize our nothingness, be willing to be in the shadow rather than in the light, to not have to prove ourselves all the time. It's insecurity. People are insecure, always trying to prove themselves, always trying to push themselves forward. Insecurity is a form of pride. A humble person is secure, no place to fall. So you're humble. You know you're at the bottom of the barrel, so you can't fall any further. So you're content and you're secure. But a person that's trying to be on top is insecure because they're afraid they're going to fall. And so people suffer today from many insecurities. And the only way to become secure is to live in His divine will, to realize you're nothing and He's everything, and then you're secure. Is to come to that nothingness. And that's what God desires for us, and that's what we should want.
Yeah, it's an easy equation. And actually, it's really simple to do. You know, God just wants what's best for us, and He knows what's, you know, as Adam said, he called God the author of his life. As the author, He knows, God knows how the book is written, and He's written it perfectly. But He also gives us editing capability. And whenever we edit what's perfect, we're going to mess it up. And that's what we've done. So we hope, we pray that God limits that editing capability. Let's go back to what He's destined us to be, and that's to be with Him for all of eternity. In fact, again, we talk about the second Pentecost. It's the gift of the divine will. It's the interior coming that St. Bernard of Clairvaux speaks about, that St. Cyril of Jerusalem speaks about, that intermediate coming, rain on fleece. You can't see it internally. It's like underground wiring. You can't see it. You can't see it to destroy it. Only we can give it back. St. Thomas Aquinas says, quote, the second Pentecost is the completion of the desire of our Creator to let us make man in our image and likeness. It's Genesis 1:26. Thou shalt send forth thy spirit, and thou shalt be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. That's available now to each and every one of us, us little shadows. It's all come together. It's all available. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Thank you, Radio Maria, for allowing us this opportunity to bring the kindergarten to all who want to be in school. Once again, we're joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy every Thursday. We're so blessed to have them with us and share in all their insights. Yeah, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the divine will. We're talking about Pentecost Sunday coming up, and we also have in John. But when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak on his own, but he shall speak what he hears and shall declare to you the things that are coming. And then I just want to just end with volume 24, August 23rd, 1928. Jesus explains it point blank. He just gives a delineation here. He says, quote, "The truths about my fiat, about the divine will, are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will, in which you shall find the norms, the sun, the teachings on how to ennoble themselves, to elevate themselves, to have their origin back, and to take their state once again given to them by God at the beginning of creation." And then God, in his playful mode, also has some fun with that, the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 24, 13 and 14, Jesus states, but that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, he calls it exactly the same, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. Now, we know the end will come is not the end of the world. We know it's the end of evil. It's the end of this era. Again, this third millennium, this what Pope St. John Paul II talked about, this new and divine way of holiness. This is done through the divine will. God is giving us this, and he's given us a track record of all the saints before us and writings of the mystics to corroborate exactly what he's given us, to prove to us that this is, in essence, the end game. This is where he wants us to be. And his mother's holding our hand and sometimes even dragging us. Thanks be to God. Mother, back to you in Italy.
Yeah, I was just reading volume 6 in the Divine Will, 1905. It was June the 2nd. Our Lord was saying, "My daughter, patience is the nourishment of perseverance. In fact, patience keeps passions in their place and strengthens all virtues. And by receiving from patience, the attitude of continuous life, the virtues do not feel the tiredness that inconstancy produces, which is so easy for the creature. So the soul does not lose heart if she is mortified or humiliated, because patience immediately administers to her the necessary nourishment and forms in her a stronger and more stable bond of perseverance. Nor does she push herself too much if she is consoled and elevated, because as patience nourishes perseverance, she contains herself within moderation without going out of its boundaries. In addition to this, since patience is nourishment, and as long as one nourishes himself, it can be said that he has life, that he is not dead. In the same way, as long as she has patience, the soul will enjoy the life of perseverance. So if we want to persevere in trying to strive even to live in his divine will, we have to be patient. We have to be patient with ourselves, patient with others, patient with God working in our souls. Sometimes Louisa would complain. She was a little bit impatient. She wanted him to show himself. You know, God was trying to teach her to be patient, to wait on the Lord, you know. So we have to be patient. We have to not rush so much. I rush around too much. I was rushing around this morning, fell and cut my knee open, you know. And that was my fault. I was looking for a sister, for it was time for confession. And I thought, why am I rushing? You know, I mean, even if the priest leaves, you know, when you rush around, you know, haste makes waste. And I'm always in a hurry, you know, but I think we have to just be patient and slow down, wait on the Lord, be patient with ourselves. We beat ourselves up a lot because we're impatient. We want to be perfect right now. And God says, no, I want you to struggle through the cross because that's how you're going to learn. And that's how it's going to be more long lasting, the perfection, if you have to struggle through it and suffer the cross.
What a great lesson, Mother, about slowing down. And also, you know, it was your intention to go to confession, right? And we know how valuable intentions are now. So, yeah, slowing down is a good thing. We don't fall, number one. We don't get our hyperventilating. We don't get our heart, you know, out of whack. And honestly, where do we make our mistakes? Usually when we're rushing. At least me. I know that for a fact. Hello, sister.
Hello. So as Our Lady is teaching, the key to the happiness and peace is fiat, saying fiat to everything. Just take everything as God's will. Like when we are asked to do something that we don't really like, or when we have to run errands or something is delayed, we have to be patient. And in any situation that cannot be fixed, we have to say our fiat and we have to make it a habit. And today my meditation is from volume 20, February 13, 1927. Here Jesus tells about how we should be grateful for everything that he provides us, and then how his divine will is abused, how it's stolen. He says the glory of the kingdom is incomplete on the part of creation. And he says it will remain incomplete until his will is known and has its first place of honor and dominion in each one of us. So Jesus gives Louisa a simple example of a king. So the king has a kingdom, all lands, villas, and cities. They're all his property. And by right, his kingdom and everything that belongs to the kingdom is his. And the good king, he wants to see his people happy. He makes them happy. And so he distributes his farms, his villas, and lands to his people for free, and even the housing, and so that all can be reached with his abundance. And he does all this only for one purpose, that they would recognize him as their king, giving him the absolute dominion, and recognize and love the king for the good he has done to them. But do these people recognize him as their king? No. They claim the right of property over their land and possessions, even though all those were gifts given by the king. So the king is defrauded in the glory of the good he has done to his people. And they do not even use his lands to benefit for themselves. Some do not work. Some remove the most beautiful plantations. Some render the most pleasant gardens degraded. So the king wants to someone who could repay for the damage of the glory that his people have not given him and soothe his intense sorrow. So now someone wants to repay him of his glory and he begins to renovate the land and makes of it the most beautiful and pleasant garden of the kingdom. Then he says to everyone that his garden is a gift from the God, from the king, because he loves him. And then he calls the king into his garden and he gives it back to him at his disposal. And the king is so pleased with his loyalty, and he says to that person that he wants him to be king together with him. And Jesus said that this is nothing but the mere shadow of what his supreme will has done. And God gave us everything for free, only to make us happy, so that we could recognize his divine fiat and his love for us. And God really provides everything: sun, the heat, water, fire, our life, our health, our talents, the air that we can breathe, the heartbeat. Everything is a gift from God. And those are the things that we cannot create by ourselves. But do we really thank God for everything, or just take them as granted and use them for our own good? So he only wants love and dominion. He wants to give his kingdom to us. In his kingdom, there will be no servant, but his children and kings like him. So he is waiting his complete glory to be given back in creation, to be recognized that everything belongs to it, and to reign in all our acts, so that he can give us the title of kings to reign his kingdom, because this is the fulfillment of his glory and the complete good of creatures. So always remember that everything happens as the divine will, even though it's difficult. We got to make it a habit. And then always be thankful. Always be thankful for God and grateful for everything that he has provided for us in our daily life.
Amen. You're right, sister. Ingratitude, I think Jesus speaks about in the volumes, in his humanity, was one of the biggest pains for him. In his humanity, of course. Not being thankful. I mean, think about the birth of the Savior and who showed up at the birth. A couple cattle people, a couple wise men from distant land, a couple other animals were there. I mean, that's it. Where were all the people? The world has their Redeemer, and nobody shows up. But that's going to be also par for the course as we continue. But again, this gift is for everybody, but perhaps not for everyone at this time. But it is destined for each and every one of us, Mother.
I was just touched by this that you were saying about that Thomas Aquinas said, Second Pentecost, and also that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached around the whole world, and then the end will come. It makes me think, and also what Sister Francesca said from the book of Alfonso Liguori, The Practice of Loving Jesus Christ. How you know that you are doing something for God or for yourself, if you get upset at the obstacles. Also, for example, in sharing the divine will, there can be obstacles, like people can get you wrong, be against you, even persecute you. But not to get upset about it, because like we are not doing it for ourselves. But I think if we're always trying to do acts and rounds, inviting Jesus to do everything in us, not rushing, I think it's all inside of the God's plan. We cannot really reach and comprehend God's plans, as in the Bible said, his plans are so much higher than ours, as heaven is higher than the earth. So I was just reading from the volume 17, February 15, 1925. Just as the divine will in heaven confirms, beatifies, and brings happiness, on earth it operates in the soul and forms in her the eternal waves which overwhelm everything. I was abandoning all of myself in the most holy will of God, and in this total and full abandonment, I felt within me a new heaven, an air all divine, which infused new life in me. And my always adorable Jesus, moving in my interior, seemed to stretch out his arms towards me, to receive me and to hide me within himself, placing me under this new heaven of his will, which had formed in me by his grace. With great contentment, I breathed the balsamic and sweet air of his most holy will. And taken by amazement, I said, my love, my Jesus, how beautiful is the heaven of your will. How enjoyable is to be under it. Oh, how refreshing and salutary is its celestial air. And Jesus, pressing me more tightly to himself, told me, daughter of my will, each act in my will is a new heaven, which extends above the head of the soul, one more beautiful than the other. The air of these heavens is divine and brings with itself sanctity, love, fortitude, and contains all flavors together. This is why one can feel a balsamic and sweet air. My will in heaven confirms, beatifies, brings happiness, and penetrates everywhere. It transforms and divinizes everything within itself. While in the soul who possesses these new heavens of my will on earth, it operates, and as it operates, it delights in extending new heavens. Therefore, my will works and operates more in the pilgrim soul than in the celestial Jerusalem. Up there, the works of the saints are complete. There is nothing left to do. While here, my will has always something to do in the soul in whom it reigns. This is why it wants everything for itself, and does not want to leave even one act to her human will. Because it wants to do much, and for every act it were to leave to the human will, it would fail to extend one more heaven, and it would be one more work less for it. Oh, you do not know what happens in the soul when she gives my will all the freedom to operate within her. Imagine a sea when the waves rise up so powerful and high that their power transports also the fish, up high, in such a way that they can be seen within those waves, lifted by the power of the storm, which makes them come out from the depths of the sea, from their ordinary dwelling, to rise up together with the waves. The waves have overwhelmed them, and they have not been able to resist their power. While without the power of the stormy waves, they do not know how to go out of their harbor. Oh, if the sea had a limitless power, it would make all the water overflow from its boundaries, forming gigantic waves, and all the fish overwhelmed by them would all come out. But what the sea cannot do, because it is limited in its power, my will does. As it makes the acts of the soul its own, by operating in her, it forms its eternal waves in her. And in these waves, it overwhelms everything. In these waves, one can see all that my humanity did, the works of my celestial mama, those of all saints, and everything that the very divinity did. Everything is placed in motion. My will is more than sea. Our works and those of the saints can be symbolized by the fish which live in the sea. So this is really a nice picture, a nice image, how, like, imagine when the Israelites were passing the Red Sea and the God, I mean, yeah, God through Moses, like lifted up the sea and as a wall and all the fishes in it. So, as sisters were saying before, like imagine one of these fishes wanting to go out of the sea, to go out of that really high place of the divine will. I mean, it would die immediately. It would just, you know, very miserably fall. So, like if you're just a fish and divine will like lifts you up, I mean, stay in it. Don't try to, you know, get out of it. And it just makes me think how you know, divine will is everything. It's just, you know, wanting, desiring always to stay in it, and not just like, okay, I want to have the gift of living in the divine will because that's the best thing. I mean, it's kind of wrong just to desire it for the sake of it, but really like desiring it for God, because like wanting to disappear in it, not wanting anything for yourself, like kind of I'm praying, please God, let me have the gift because I don't want to ruin your plan. with my human will, because I mean, it is so important, like not getting lost in our own little plans, like ants, you know, but just like really, I mean, by reading the writings of Luisa, like God makes you comprehend more and more his own divine plan. And I mean, you just cannot simply turn back wanting to be, you know, like going around ants' business, just to put it that way. Like really doing everything for him. And every little act, like not living for yourself. Yes, thank you.
Very well said, sister. I like that. Very nice. Thank you. Hello, sister.
Hello. This goes back to what you were speaking about earlier about the saints from the past, of living in God's will versus living by his will. It's from August 13th, 1923, volume 16. And if until now creatures have enjoyed the goods of redemption, now they will move further to enjoy the fruits of the fiat voluntas tua, on earth as it is in heaven. That lost happiness, that dignity and nobility, that peace all celestial, which by doing his will, man had caused to disappear from the face of the earth. Greater grace I could not give him, because by placing him again in relation with my will, I will give back to him all the goods with which I endowed him in creating him. Therefore, be attentive, because this is about opening a large field of goods for all your brothers. And then I picked another one from July 27th, 1923, also from volume 16. And it talks about the field of goods, or something similar to. So we know, like, how does this happen? And Jesus is speaking to Luisa about forming the deposit. He's referring to the writings, which are the field that gives action to his will. It says, then will I make its way and give itself to the other creatures. So he's about forming, giving her all the writings. And then as he deposited all the works of redemption in Our Lady, well, the divine will is all deposited in Luisa, and she's his chosen instrument. And so the way that we live God's will is by doing the acts and the rounds, and also we have to read these writings daily to live it.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know how much time we have left. I was just going to read something here, but it'll be short, I think. Our Lord was saying that he says, these are my ways, to die and to rise again continuously. The seed is sowed under the earth, as though buried, so as to make it die. And in fact, it dies to the point of being pulverized, but then it rises again, more beautiful, even more multiplied. And so with all the rest. If this happens in the natural order, much more in the spiritual order, must the soul be subject to these deaths and to these risings, such that while it seems that she has triumphed over everything and abounds in fervor, in graces, in union with me, in virtues, and that she has acquired as many new lives in everything, I hide myself, and it seems that everything dies around her. I give strokes of a true master, helping to make everything die for her. And when it appears to me that everything has died for her, like sun, I come out. I unveil myself. And with me, everything rises again, more beautiful, more vigorous, more faithful, more grateful, more humble, in such a way that if there was anything human, death has destroyed it, making everything rise again to new life. So, you know, even when we had prayer, you have bad days, difficult times, and then the next day you may go and everything is easy. God comes and goes. He wants us to struggle the cross. That's how we die. That's how we grow in prayer. That's how we grow in love and everything. So we die and then we rise again continuously, just like he died and rose. And he died and rose a death and resurrection for each one of us while he was here on earth.
Amen. Great advice, Mother. You're right, because when you're having a great day, be cautious. There may be an obstacle coming, and if you're in the midst of an obstacle, be assured that you're going to have a great day. So thank you, Mother. We're basically out of time. I just wanted to, you know, I was thinking about, you know, again, the new gospel of the kingdom. I think one of the sisters was enamored by that also. You know, it's just startling that he placed that. Well, I want to leave you with another little meditation that really could be very significant. It's the last basically paragraph, or the second to last paragraph of the Bible. Revelation 22:17, quote, state, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the hearer say, come. Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it receive the gift of life-giving water." If you analyze this, I see a process of receiving the divine will. Quickly, the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Spirit and the Church say, come. They're offering this gift through Jesus. Let the hearer say, come. Yes, we want this. We give our fiat. Let the one who thirsts come forward. Our desire brings us forward in the knowledge. And the one who wants it receive the gift of living in the divine will, the living water, to actualize it. Has God hidden this in Revelation? Has he given us the gospel of the kingdom to alert us, to give us a little bit of a smile, to say he's known this all along, and he knew we'd recognize it at some point in time. We're blessed. We're blessed to have God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. And thank you all for listening. We pray that we can be back next week. Mother, sisters, we love you.
God bless you. We love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao, everyone.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
All right.